This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Hindu's In Focus podcast. I'm Zubeda Hamid, your host for today. Baby foods, drinks, and protein powders have all been in the news of late. Are these products harming rather than helping your health? The latest controversy has centered around Nestle, a well-known brand in India. An investigation recently found that all Nestle baby cereals sold in India contained almost 3 grams of added sugar, but the same cereals sold in the European markets had no added sugar. The harmful effects of sugar are now well known. It can contribute to obesity as well as multiple health complications later in life. The centre has now asked the Food Safety and Standards Authority of India, the FSSAI, to look into this. But there has been other news as well, involving the government asking e-commerce sites to stop the classification of Bonvita and other such beverages under the health drinks category. And just before that, we were given the shocking news that many protein powders not only do not have the amount of proteins that they advertise, but may also have harmful components. So what are the laws regarding processed food and baby food in our country? How are companies allowed to advertise these foods and drinks, and can they be labeled healthy? Who looks into the safety of these products that are found all over our supermarkets? And what does India need to do to classify which foods are healthy and which are unhealthy, considering the huge burden of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease that we are grappling with? We delve into these questions and more with Dr. Arun Gupta, a public health expert, the central coordinator of the Breastfeeding Promotion Network of India, and convener of Nutrition Advocacy in Public Interest. Welcome to the Hindus in Focus podcast, Dr. Arun Gupta.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm glad to be part of this.
Doctor, a recent controversy has erupted over Nestle's baby cereals, in which everybody has found out now that Nestle's Cerelac baby cereals in India have almost 3 grams of added sugar compared to what is sold in European markets. Could you talk to us about why this has happened and about the harmful effects of sugar in the diet of very young children?
Yeah, that's a very good question among the rising controversy in the country today after the release of the report by a Swiss organization, Public Eye, and an International Baby Food Action Network, of which I am a part of. So the controversy has not just come up on the content of the sugar, it also is on the dual treatment to babies of this country versus that country, because they're not physiologically different. Why Nestle does it, I think it's more like what consumer pressures are in that country. The law in India does allow adding this sugar in the food safety regulations, but it's an important point that the food safety regulation need to look at it from the perspective of the harm that the sugar can do to the body, taken daily and in increasing amounts. One of the key things which sugar can, increasing amount of sugar can do is the contributes to rising obesity in the country and right from the childhood. So that's something which contributes to later development of other non-communicable diseases such as diabetes or heart disease or cancers. So they are all related, and this is a documented fact by the Ministry of Health of Government of India and WHO. So that's a reason that this is an opportunity after this controversy has arisen that food safety regulation can be amended to keep zero sugar in infant foods, as WHO also advises specifically in the healthy diet advisory that below 2 years, sugar and salt should not be added to foods given to children after 6 months to 24 months.
There's been a lot of awareness recently, Doctor, about the negative effects that sugar can have on the diet. As you pointed out, it can lead to obesity and later in life to diabetes, to cardiovascular complications, etc. India also has a regulation stating that baby food and infant food should not be advertised, correct? But we see an increasing rise of Nestle and other products doing this through social media. Is that something that needs to be urgently tackled?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. There is a very good law India has. It was acclaimed after in the world to have enacted that wonderful law in 1992 and 2003 that bans any promotion of any baby foods for children under the age 2, including advertisements and including any medium, whether it is social media or it's print media or electronic media. It's very clearly written in the law. Now, the law is not being implemented well in the country. We have been facing this for years because our organization, Breastfeeding Promotion Network of India, is gazetted under the law to monitor it and report. So we keep on reporting to the government about the violations happening, but unfortunately, the government has not taken these as something serious. So I think once again, there is an opportunity now. It's not just the Nestle's baby cereal, but so many other brands, including the local brands, also have been found to be promoting their infant foods after 6 months, to be used after 6 months. And they are like promoted on Instagram, on YouTube, on, you know, other media. But the action taken by the government is not visible. Not the action taken, it requires an invest. It's a criminal offense, actually. The law I mentioned is called Infant Milk Substitute, Feeding Bottles and Infant Foods, Regulation of Production, Supply and Distribution Act. So it doesn't ban the sales, it bans the promotion part. So it's a criminal offense and it needs investigation to launch a case. So that's where the role of the government lies, that to actually start investigating and do annual monitoring of this law, which currently is not happening. So there are some difficulties, which we find the challenge is that the law is under the business rules of Ministry of Women and Child Development, which has got nothing to do with the healthcare system. And the problem lies more in the healthcare system. So I believe that the law clearly states in its statements of objects that it should be implemented under the overall control of Ministry of Health, because Food Safety Authority is under Ministry of Health also for food standards in the infant foods. So both these things can be dealt by the Ministry of Health, and Prime Minister's office can think of changing the rules. We have written a couple of times to the PMO to actually, you know, change the business rule so that this law could be implemented. So these are the challenges in implementation of this law.
Doctor, you said a little earlier that despite WHO regulations stating that no infant food should contain sugar or added sugar or salt, a lot of these baby cereals have now found to have them. But the differences between what they sell in Europe and what they sell in developing countries is really stark with the amount of added sugar. So do you think that this is a form of exploitation because they think that consumers in developing countries are not as well aware of the harmful effects of sugar as those in Europe, for instance?
Absolutely. I would agree 100% that it is a matter of exploitation, whether companies do not care about babies in India or other developing countries, and putting sugar in the babies every day, based on every day. So these are the products which are consumed on a daily basis. It induces addiction, and there is a possibility that you continue to eat more. So children feel happy to eat such things, and parents feel happy. So the consumption goes up, which is the matter which companies love to exploit, because that increases their sales. So that's something which is unfortunate, but it is happening, and it's now revealed in a clear-cut investigation. It's time that the global as well as the national standards are revised to include zero sugar in the added sugar in the infant foods.
Now we have heard that the center has asked the Food Safety and Standards Authority of India, the FSSAI, to initiate appropriate action against the Nestle Group. What could this appropriate action consist of? First, do our laws need to be changed in order to be able to take any action at all?
There is no way that you can hold the company accountable on a legal basis. So, to my mind, the company can only be held accountable for violating the law on the social media. For example, you can go and find on the YouTube, Cerelac is being demonstrated by people how to make use of it, and the branding is done showing those Cerelac cans there, tins there, and that's what is not allowed in the law. So in this, I would suggest that the investigation team should look into very carefully both the angles, not just the added amount of sugar. And once the law is amended, later on the Nestle can be asked that, you know, abide by the law. And the other companies also, the other companies we also looked into, several others, they are adding more sugar also into the infant foods.
Doctor, talk to us a little bit about the problem of obesity in the country among children. The latest National Family Health Survey 5 saw a steep rise in obesity among children specifically, and estimates indicate that India can have more than 27 million obese children. How much of this can be linked to sugar?
This is a fact now that India is facing double burden, where we have children, a large number of children who are undernourished, and now the children are getting into over obesity, I would say. So since it is rapidly rising, and the biochemical markers also show in a 2016 report from the Government of India's Comprehensive National Nutrition Survey, it showed that 56% children of 5 to 19 years have metabolic markers of non-communicable diseases. That means the dietary intake. So it's not just only the sugar part. It's like whole dietary pattern is changing, fast changing in India, transitioning towards packaged food containing high sugar, high fat, high sodium, as well as, for example, in the government programs, a very carbohydrate-rich diet is given to children as supplementary nutrition that need to be looked at, that how can we increase, that how can we decrease the amount of carbohydrates and sugars in the under 2 age. And thirdly, this also has a lot of bearing on how these products are being marketed, those which are commercial. So that's something which also touches upon not just under 2 years, but also between first 10 years of life of a child, where they are exposed to such high sugar or high carbohydrate products in the schools, and that certainly contributes to obesity. And the reason that the national study published last year showed that 1 in 4 adults is either diabetic or pre-diabetic, and 1 in 4 adults is obese. So that also needs to be taken into account when we are doing any policy framework. So this is a clear reflection that all is not well. I call it a ticking time bomb of India's non-communicable diseases, with diabetes and obesity rising sharply. Consumption of these ultra-processed foods, according to a WHO report, is rising sharply at the annual compounded growth of about 13%, according to a recent report. And the global reports of sales also show similar trends. So this is alarming for a public health expert like me, And there are so many people have raised this voice, including consumer groups and, you know, many public health organizations and individual experts also raising their voice on social media, on their writings, and now the popular media also, you know, in newspapers also calling out that there should be advertising regulations on such products. So India's advertising regulations currently are unable to stop any advertisement, howsoever misleading it may be.
Let's talk a little bit about these advertising regulations, Doctor. So this is at least the third controversy when it comes to food to erupt in recent times. We also had the protein powder controversy. We also had the Bonvita being classified as health drink controversy. And now the government has recently asked all e-commerce companies to remove Bonvita and other drinks like that from the health drinks category on their website. How big of a problem is this becoming? Are all these processed and ultra-processed foods being labeled, mislabeled as healthy?
Yes, most of the advertisements, if you see the of these food and beverage products, would be, you know, they wouldn't be sold projecting as some kind of healthy and giving emotional happiness, giving immunity, giving very good taste. So all that is created as an environment to, you know, for people to choose. And, you know, it affects when people see such advertisements, especially young children and adolescents, they are inspired to buy them. So this is an important area. Classifying on an e-commerce site, whether it is classified in the health drink or not, is a good first step, I would say. But the same product may not be classified on an e-commerce site, but is widely advertised. For example, the same Bonvita, in it, I saw advertisement during a cricket match recently being advertised that it's a vitamin D ki taakat, right? So the point is, I know that it contains vitamin D, but so many things contain vitamin D. Sun gives us vitamin D, but people don't advertise that go to sun and have your vitamin D. So why this is allowed even, to my mind? When you know the product is unhealthy, it is unhealthy. So there is a clear-cut need to define, because there is no definition of a health drink as rightly said by the NCPCR and the FSSAI, doesn't have a definition. So I would urge the government to have a definition of both healthy food as well as healthy beverage. Then it can be classified and given a green signal as a green signature or label as done by Israel. So there is a definition of healthy food. It has given a criteria how a food can be labeled as healthy. So once that criteria is applied, then one can say the unhealthy foods can be classified based on the amount of sugar, whether they are high in sugar, high in salt, or high in fat. And then we need a definition of what is high. So there is a definition which is already pending in the draft notification of Food Safety Act that needs to be adopted. So these two definitions are critical for moving forward. Even to think of restricting advertisement, you need a benchmark that, you know, beyond which level the product will not be allowed to be advertised. So the current understanding of 10% sugar, 10% saturated fat, and 1 milligram of sodium per kilocalorie, if the food product or beverage crosses that, should be prohibited from marketing, which includes any labeling which is inspiring people to buy, which includes any advertisements in the newspapers or in the social media or in the electronic media. So the Consumer Protection Act also has very clearly defined what is misleading. It says that any product, food product, in this case, it becomes a food product, if they do not disclose or conceal most important information it will be called misleading advertisement. Now, when it comes to food product, the most important information is about these nutrient of concern, whether sugar, salt or fat. So none of the advertisement I have ever seen will say that our product contains sugar so much grams. For example, if Bonvita contains 50% sugar, then the advertisement should have said in upfront saying, okay, it has 50% sugar. You may say that it has other things also, but equally important and equally bold, it should also have been said that it contains sugar, which is 50%. Similarly, I saw some advertisements of, for example, lassi and containing, say, about 25% of sugar. But the advertisement only says about sugar-free lassi, not the other products in Amul. That three products are advertised yesterday in the Times of India. I saw that these products, on one of them is labeled as sugar-free. Why not the others that sugar is 25 or 20, whatever is the grammage. I'm not even saying use adjectives such as I. But tell the people that this product contains so much sugar. Why I'm saying so is that 25 gram, if you gulp in one drink of 250 ml, if it crosses your daily limit in one drink, what do you do with your food on a daily basis? That's a challenge for adults. The WHO advises that that sugar intake may be restricted to 25 and maximum of 50 grams per day for adults. I know the companies have to do business, but not at the cost of human health. This is the job of the government to protect human health and restrict the marketing on these products which relate to human nutrition, which relate to food products. So they should be kept out of marketing, in my view.
You said, doctor, that we first need a benchmark, a definition of what is considered healthy and what is considered unhealthy in terms of sugar, salt and fat. So what happened to the draft notification of the Food Safety Act? Is that still a draft that is not coming, that is not being passed?
It's a draft, and since September 22, the draft was issued. November comments were closed, and now it's like 1.5 years. We haven't heard anything that what has happened to those comments people gave. And FSSAI has publicly said in several reports that, thousands of comments, but sometimes it's 15,000, sometimes 11,000. So we don't know what has been done to those comments. So 1.5 years too much time to actually analyze these comments, in my view. I mean, if you don't have people to analyze, then you can hire somebody to do it.
So one part of it is defining these benchmarks of what constitutes healthy and unhealthy. The other one is then stopping all advertisements of the food that is not necessarily healthy. What are our laws regarding food advertisement right now? So we have a separate law which prohibits infant and baby food to be advertised. But what about the rest of the food? Anything can be advertised?
Advertisement regulations in this country are many, but none of them is effective to the tune that they can stop any advertisements except the Consumer Protection Act, which says there shall be no misleading advertisement, and the Food Safety Act says there shall be no misleading advertisement. Both have not gone beyond the interpretation of these sentences because they remain like subjective with FSSAI. 1 year back, FSSAI, after the Bonvita controversy, said we have identified so many advertisements which are misleading. So after that, there is no news, no information to public that, if FSSAI could reveal that, because if it takes years to decide what is misleading, then there is no fun having a law of that nature, because the damage is done by that time, by advertisements. So similarly, on the misleading advertisements of the Consumer Protection Act, you know, what happens is the Consumer Protection Act is relying on the health law to actually, you know, ban advertisements and use of celebrities in these product advertisements. So how do we actually see this harmony between the health ministry and the consumer protection and the food safety authority, and then there is a law in the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting called Advertising Code. So it talks about the ban of advertising of cigarettes and smoke products, but there is no mention of unhealthy food or high food, high fat, high sugar, high salt foods. Similarly, the Press Council has a journalistic norm, which is norms for journalistic conduct, which also mentions about that there shall not be advertisements of these cigarettes and all, and advertisement shall be follow the Drugs and Magic Remedies Act, and there is an opportunity there also to include what is high sugar, high fat food, because this is an evidence in the last 10 years. So much evidence has been available on the risks to health of consumption of such foods, and with the increasing rate of consumption, if it is more than 10% of your dietary intake, ultra processed food or such pre-packaged high fat, high sugar foods, there is a risk which is adds to the incidence of diabetes, obesity, cancers, all go up. The recent publication in the British Medical Journal clearly revealed 45 global reviews and studies, and they indicated about 32 diseases with which these consumption, this kind of consumption is associated with. So this is something which I think that globally there is a recognition of this issue, and a very recent development in the United States Senate about a few days back, regulation where to ban the advertisement of targeting babe children and also put a warning label on the products. So that's the kind of thing which India needs to do also, that if the earlier laws are not effective in containing these advertisements, then probably a new law could be thought of, or a serious effort should be made to amend the laws which are existing. I'm not saying anything from my own head, that this is what I said right now. The amendment of these laws is contained in a plan of action of Ministry of Health, which was to be implemented from 2017 to 2022, called National Multisectoral Action Plan to Control Non-Communicable Diseases. But somehow that has not been implemented. I urge the government to take it seriously. If not 22, then why not 25, where the plan has a target to halt the rise of obesity and diabetes by 2025, which I don't see happening given the current rise.
Do you think a lot of this has to do with lobbying from ultra-processed food makers and manufacturers?
I think yes. This is a global phenomenon we have been watching for last 40 years. When we started working on baby food issues in 80s, we have seen this happening all over the world, when how industry interferes in terms of making a policy at the government level. A baby food law doesn't exist in all countries. So we are lucky that India has that law, and it's a successful example of copying that law for the other age groups, higher than 2 years. So it is a possibility which which India should not miss. It's a great opportunity given this controversy, given this whole media media outcry, given the public opinion, given the experts' opinion, given the scientific evidence, given that we are suffering from a serious rise of diabetes and obesity, and given that we have a plan documented which needs to be implemented, I think it's the right time.
Thank you so much for speaking to us today, Dr. Gupta.
Thank you very much for having me, Subedha.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.